Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hi.
And special guest tonight, super excited to have her here, Amelie Howard. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. Because I have to tell you, these covers, I'm a little obsessed
amazing.
With these covers.
Yeah, they're so amazing.
Shiny, they're so shiny, pretty. Shiny,
yeah, shiny. They're holographic.
Super shiny. Yeah, and then this one, they have like, it's so pretty. You can see it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I already ordered them. I already bought them. Do not. I already am there. Leah's like, now I have to have these.
Was awesome because like actually HarperCollins, like I've not seen this lithofoil treatment on any other book, so it's really cool.
Yeah, you see it every once in a while like on a title like the gold lettering or something like that,
but it's like foil. It's like very like specific. It's like niche spots on the cover.
Yeah, this one's the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Oh my god, man. I gotta get those.
They're pretty.
They are so pretty.
Anyway, we're super excited to have you here. We are celebrating it's book two of your duology. So this finishes it.
Yes.
So this is the Starkeeper duology. And Leah is going to handle all of our questions. And we're here for discussion.
Woo-hoo.
Right, Leah? Here we go.
Okay, so the most important thing that all of our Buzzing About Romance viewers want to know is how is the weather where you're at?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it's like 80 degrees today. I live in Colorado and I don't even know.
I had snow again.
Yeah. No, we literally had 10 degree weather a day ago in the morning and now it was 80 today. I was in a t-shirt.
Jesus.
I think it's the lowest snowpack in 38 years here, which is...
I think I have gotten more snow in outside of the Pittsburgh area than the whole of Colorado. Yeah,
I have heard that. And it's sad because I have a ski pass. I've been one time.
Oh.
Yeah, my husband's actually out there snowboarding right now.
Oh.
So.
Lucky.
You have to understand.
So I say it's the most important because when Pittsburgh got hit with that snowstorm, like I was in the 2.5 foot area.
Oh,
and so
yikes.
Since then, every single episode, we have talked about the weather.
I see. So we have out still.
Yeah.
Like a little bit at a time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We keep talking about the weather. We're not a weather podcast, but we keep having weather discussions.
I told Becky today, I was like, people come for the books and stay for the weather.
There you go. Did you measure that snowfall in inches or feet? I'm kidding. I was just
I don't know. We have
Let's
snow
just
again.
Kick that off.
Yeah, we got more snow. But anyway, to the books now. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
I have always been a voracious romance reader. I started reading romance when I was very little and imagining Anne of Green Gables, Gilbert and Anne in a relationship, even though, a very steamy relationship. When I was 12 years old, I was actually published. My English teacher lit a candle and asked us to write a poem. And mine was about a bridegroom who burned his bride to the ground. So dark romance was always, loved that from the start. But I also stole all my grandma's Harlequins and Milton Boone. I was a huge fan of, I like to say, the 5 J's. So Judith McNaught, Jude Devereaux, Julie Garwood, Joanna Lindsay, and Beverly Jenkins.
The
five
Bev is the
iconic.
Best.
Oh, she is literally hands down an amazing person and writer.
Have you got to meet her?
I'm lucky to consider her a very good friend.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
She is just a gem, and she's so real and down to earth. And because the very first Readers Take Denver, she was there.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours went and was like, "Here, I would like you to sign my book." She's like, "You want me to sign your book?" And she's like, "Yes."
Like, I remember that. Like, she was, but she was kind of lost in that first RTD.
She was.
So it was like, no. I'm like one of those people. Like, I want to hold up like a sign that says, "I got her number. How about them apples?"
She lives up in Metro Detroit, and I'm in Northwest Ohio. And I'm always like, I'm just going to come visit you. And she is at Metro Detroit libraries, constantly for stuff. And just a gem.
She really is. She really is. She's a national treasure. I love her. And she's got the kindest heart. She's pretty awesome. So yeah, that's how I got my start in romance and, reading all those iconic books. And that was kind of my escape. Like I went to a strict, like all girls high school. My mom was really strict, so I wasn't allowed to date. So lots of book boyfriends, book girlfriends, book anythings.
Smart.
I had them all.
I love
I
that.
mean, I also love that you love the J's, Jude,
I mean,
Judith,
because
Joanna,
Becky
Lindsay.
got her teeth on the J's as well.
Nice.
I have the Jude Barbie,
You
the
do?
Raider
That's
Barbie. I
awesome.
have the Barbie.
Nice.
Like, I love it more than my children, maybe. At least that's what I tell them. That's their whole inheritance, the Barbie. Like,
You go. You gotta leave something.
right?
Something awesome.
So, aside from your dark romance poem of published, what made you publish your first novel?
So this is like kind of cyclical. When I was 15, I won a Commonwealth writing essay competition. I got an award in it. So I always thought that I wanted to be a writer. And then I went to college, and at my school, they had like a January program where you can try out different courses. And for the JAM plan, I knew I wanted to do creative writing. And the creative writing person wasn't part of the department. She was just a sub. And not just a sub, because my mom is a substitute in the district. They're, very good teachers. But she said that my voice was too flowery. And when you're 18 and someone tells you your voice isn't good, which is why when I teach creative writing classes now, any workshops, I will never tell a writer that, because voice is different and voice is the thing that makes you as a writer you. So you're 18 years old and thinking I suck, and I never took another creative writing class in my entire college time, which I regret because the English department there was so amazing. Instead, I majored in international studies and French, so I did some French literature. And then I got a job in international relations. And outside of school, I worked on Wall Street for a really long time. And in 2003, like everybody else in the world, I read Twilight. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, this lady had a dream about vampires and just wrote this book because she had a dream. And I was like, you're dressing up as a vampire and like a witch every single year for Halloween. What are you doing? So I decided I was going to try to write. I mean, listen, this thing was like a dinosaur. It was so big that I think agents at the time when I was querying were like, ma'am, you need to cut this in two. We don't want your 184,000 word book. So anyway, I mean, like, I queried in like 2009. Finally, that book was published in 2011. And then, I've been through a bunch of different agents, but that was my first book. And then yesterday was my 32nd that came out. So in
Congratulations. That's
16
exciting.
years, yeah.
That's so exciting.
So exciting. Is there a piece of advice that present author you would give past author you?
Not to not take another class at
Take the
college.
class.
Like I would have loved to have minored in creative writing or something, along those lines. It's one of my regrets that I didn't do, because I think the English department, I went to Colby, is was really, really, really good.
It really is one of those things. I'll have people, authors that we work with in editing and stuff, and they'll be like, "Well, I'm not sure it's any good." It's great. You wrote a book. Like, that's
Totally.
simply amazing. I'm never going to be like, "What did you write?" Now, if you do something crazy bonkers, I might be like, "Hey, we might
Hey,
need therapy."
I mean, there's
well,
an
I'll let you know where
occasional
this.
like, we'll delete a sentence, be like, "What were you thinking here?" But
Yeah, I mean, you could always, like Jodi Picoult, like one time said, you could always edit a bad page. You can't edit a blank page. So, which is good advice.
It is.
I feel like romance has something for everyone, though,
They
which is one
do.
of the most amazing things about the genre. It doesn't matter what you like, what you don't like, what your best friend likes, what whoever likes, there's something for everyone, which is
Well, and
fantastic.
between the three of us, like we have eclectic choices sometimes. Like Amanda loves romanticy, like is our romanticy expert.
I'm not an expert.
I read a lot of unhinged things, like the more bonkers, the better sometimes. And I mean, Becky, she reads weird things too, because she likes sentient objects as
Oh my
things.
gosh. Yeah, I've heard about those. The airplane one.
Wait, there's an
And then the
airplane?
door.
There's an
Yes, it's
airplane
called
one. Yeah.
I
it's
haven't heard
called
about the
air.
airplane.
Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, oh,
Yeah.
it's called Airpeen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda's like, what is happening already? This is gonna be derailed immediately.
We
Oh,
like it
that's
to
so
be
funny.
derailed. I read The Door Shifter like Vera
The door one,
Valentine,
yeah.
and she did her Kool-Aid Man one. And actually, it's so funny, you guys, because so I joined a local book club. Like, I haven't been in a physical, like, out of my house book club in probably 10 years. So I joined a local book club because my friend opened a romance bookstore. And
Love that.
on Monday night, I was at book club and they were talking about things. And somebody asked me a question. And I was like, you know what figging is, right? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you should read this historical romance by Golden Angel. And also, she writes Hugh Cow here. And
Which is always a good read
they're
as
like,
well.
you read this? And I'm like, oh yeah, they're really great. And then I'm explaining to this group of like 15 women like what figging is, and they just all looking at me like,
Yeah.
ma'am. I'm like, you're welcome. I
It's a total you're welcome. They will thank you later.
Yeah.
I mean, and if they don't, they should.
Yeah, they
Yeah.
should.
I did. Jenny's calling me out in the chat on YouTube. I did wreck the Kool-Aid book to someone at a restaurant one time. We were at a restaurant.
Stacy told me one of
Nice.
my good friends reads romance, and we actually got on the subject because she asked like for a couple recommendations, and I was like, "Is consent important to you?" And she's like, "Well," I'm like, "I got you." But so she felt like the Kool-Aid Man was a bit much.
Oh,
Wasn't a
same.
fan of
But
it,
I mean,
but
even like Dub Nonkon, like it's all everything is in romance is safe, which is like so good. I love that about the genre. And I've wrecked like my unhinged things too. Like Morning Glory Milking Farm by
Oh,
C.M.
yeah, that's a good one.
Nespasta is so good.
So
And
good.
she's a great writer. Like,
That is a really good one. Can you share any writing rituals or habits that you have to help you stay focused?
Yeah, I write in my bed like a weirdo, and that's probably not good for my back. But I wake up early. If I'm on deadline, I'll wake up at 4,
Oh,
and
geez.
that stretch, I know that stretch of time from 4 to like 7, when, well, I only have one kid at home who's in high school, when she gets ready to go to school, but that's uninterrupted. I have no distractions. I don't even need a brick because nobody's awake online. I have like no friends, so all I have to do is just focus on the writing. So I do that from 4 to 7 when I'm on deadline, which is pretty much all the time.
That's so
And
funny.
sometimes I used to listen to like playlists when I was working on multiple projects at a time, because something about, I guess, a switch in your brain clicks on when, if you listen to a certain
Yeah.
set
Oh,
of
so you'd have
songs
different
or type of
playlists for
music.
each
Yeah.
project.
It automatically would get my brain into that mode, and that worked so well for me for a really long time. Now in the morning at 4 a.m., I really don't need any music. It's so quiet. I'm so lonely. Can you tell? Somebody send me a message at 4.
I
No, I was
mean,
gonna say,
here
we're
in
all
Washington, it's four.
sleeping.
I'm usually awake,
Although
so
it's
there you
Colorado
go.
four, so
Which is
yeah.
6 a.m. here.
Colorado 4 is like 6 East
Oh
Coast.
yeah, that's
Which
right.
yeah,
I should be asleep.
I'm already awake at that point because I have to get the boy up for school.
The girl child
Because
has to go to work to make the donut, so
that's true.
oh, that's right.
she
Yeah, we'll message you.
type it away.
We'll be like, what are you doing today, Emily? And you'll
Stop
be like,
typing.
what did I do? Why did I give these people permission to message
No,
me?
I would never say that. I would love it. I would love it.
Also, can you give us like, okay, so I had not read Starkeeper until like, actually, I started reading it because I wanted to pick up the second book. And I was like, and then I thought, oh, Amanda really needs to read this. And that's when I messaged you and was like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? Because really, I needed someone else to read this with me. So I
She was
wasn't.
like, this is how I'll make people do it.
This is
But
how
no,
I'm.
I mean, I
Buddy
had
reads are
it. I had
fun.
it. Yeah, I had it. So
Yeah. So I could have been
Becky
like.
has a tendency to do that, though. If there's a book she wants all of us to read, she's like, well, I'm just going to make you do it for the
You need
podcast.
your friends to like
Yeah.
scream about stuff with, man.
Yep.
Especially unhinged stuff.
I mean, sometimes we don't agree, but
We
it's
don't
okay.
always. It was fine. Because, like, well, again, I came across the foil cover, and then I was like, if I'm gonna justify buying this,
You have to read it. When have we ever had to do that?
I know, but I felt
I
like we
feel like
needed
that's
it.
the sprayed edge phenomenon, where you're like,
Oh,
I buy this book
yeah.
because it's pretty. And then you're like, oh, wait, what is this book about?
Well, but also, like, I don't like books that I have on my shelves, I don't actually read them.
You don't want to touch him and break the spine.
Oh, crack spines stress me out.
I didn't say I was opening the book. I bought it on Kindle Unlimited. Because book one was in KU for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's when I
Yep.
grabbed
That's
it.
how I read it.
And then
Well,
I
I
grabbed.
started reading it, but then I switched to audio.
And then I got the audio, which
Dude, the audio is so good. I've had
So
so many
good.
people tell me how underrated,
It's
like people need to know
really
about it.
good.
Like Ramis and like Anais, she's just amazing. Like they're an
I
amazing.
had not heard these narrators
No, they
previous
were
to this, but I will
fantastic.
be searching for more books by
Yeah.
them because they had a really nice blend, but I
So
like the cadence and the tone of their voices as well.
the guy did Assassin's Creed. When I heard his interview, like I literally was like, mine.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so I'm obsessed with Wesley Chabon as a narrator. So, like, I just search for her, and if she narrates the book, I get it. So now this narrator, I'm like
Yeah.
on my must read.
No, she's so good. So good. And I had had her, I think I had her for a YA book like years ago when she first started. But yeah, I mean, we come from like God tier, like Mary Jane Wells for historical, right, Becky? She's amazing. But yeah, no, these two, magic.
Well, and their voices blended really well together because nothing bugs me more than when I'm listening to a like audiobook and the male and female narrator, the voice doesn't like blend well because there's just they don't have to be duet, even if it's just dual. Like they still have to
Yeah.
blend. And sometimes when you get that switch over, you're like, oh no. And then it just ruins the
So,
book.
did you know
Yeah.
his voice from Assassin's Creed, or you just saw that? Okay.
No. I look them up when I get the auditions
Yeah.
because I they'll send me a whole bunch. Most of my publishers do it, which is cool. And then I'll pick which one I like, and
Oh,
depending
nice.
on if they're available, then I might have to go to the second choice or
Right.
the third choice. But with her and him, like they were top, both of them. Actually, I think there was like one other one, but she didn't want to read explicit scenes.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, people have different,
Yeah.
Everybody has
like
different.
parameters that they
But the
will agree
spice in
to.
these two books was really, really good. And it was
Thank
really
you.
well done. So
Thank you very much.
I was in it.
So one more authory question, then we'll move to the duology. So are you a pantser or a planner?
I just don't wear any pants at all.
Pants are the worst.
I know. I'm
They're
like,
the
what are
worst.
those?
Oh, thinking
Yeah.
of pants, one of
Oh,
my good friends, we were at so our girls do gymnastics together and they're like they're best friends, which is how we became friends. She walks into gymnastics the other day in this really cute pair of jeans and she's like, guess what? I'm like, what? She's like, they're sweatpants. And I was like,
I
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
Pull them on and they look like
soft
denim and they're
pants,
fake denim. They're
but they looked like
phenom.
hard pants. But they were so cute. And I
Phenom.
was like, that is amazing.
Yeah. I used to be a pantser early on when, you didn't have to write like synopses for contracts. But now if I'm selling a book, it's usually on a I'll write a synopsis, a few chapters, and then the last couple I've been in were lock auctions for like not a finished book. So I have to follow the synopsis. So I've become more of a plotter in that sense.
No, which makes sense.
It does, yeah. Well, because I've talked to I tell every author that we do these, like, these are one of my favorite things to do for the podcast because everybody's journey is so different in the way they write, like how, like the way they get in the mindset to write. Because I did an interview, I think it was it Danielle Allen or Sanithia Williams, one of the two of them. They were telling me like what when they get in write mode, they put like a tiara on and
Oh,
like
that's
bling
nice.
out like while because it just there's something about feeling fancy while they
I
write that like that's
guess.
how they do it. I can't remember which one it was
Queen
though.
mode, I kind of love that.
Yeah, and
Could
it's just
you
everybody's
imagine?
what?
Could you imagine Amelie like
I
working
know,
in
I'm like,
bed with her
do I have one
tiara
near her?
on and then like
Oh. I would totally do
But
it.
it's just one of those things, like everybody has a different way they get focused and a way they write. Like point A to point B is so different, but the final product is like this finished thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I love that about these.
No,
So
that's cool.
let's talk the Starkeeper duology. We'll do a little bit of both books since they are both out
And we'll be
now.
spoiler-free because book two just came out on Tuesday, and I'm
Yep.
telling you guys, you're gonna want to get it.
Can
Like,
I like show this picture? You
yes.
totally want to
Oh
get it.
yeah.
Look at
Oh
these
yeah.
three. They are so
They're so hot.
look, he's holding her toes. The other one's giving her a forehead kiss. Like, oh my God.
That's real
Okay.
cute.
That's
I
really
have the
cute art.
NSFW one. I'll show you later.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, because we don't have the capabilities of blurring things
I
out
mean,
like
I
in
don't
real
care.
time, whatever.
Oh, are you allowed? Am I allowed to show that? No? Yes?
Are
It's
we?
fine.
I don't think we can.
I think we're fine.
Okay.
We might get in trouble for that one. I
Yeah.
don't
All right.
care. We're
That one
fine.
was nice. That was nice. I
She can
wasn't
show us
being
later.
naughty.
She can show us when we cut the feed.
Anyway. Yeah, she can show us when we cut the feed, and then we'll just tell all the listeners about it later. That's true.
Yeah.
You should have seen
So
it.
you typically write historical. What was the choice in writing romanticism?
You know, when I started, I wrote science fiction and fantasy, but young adult. So
Okay.
this is kind of my wheelhouse, like fantasy. I've always loved it. I read Lord of the Rings when I was 12 years old, and it was like iconic, the world building. I always like aspired to that. So always a huge fan of like really cinematic, immersive world building. And then I went to historical romance, probably about halfway. So like I want to say like in 2018, maybe 2017. And I did that writing with a co-writer who she her name is Paige Morgan. She wrote the Beautiful and the Curse series with Delacorte. Like it was Gargoyles, super good. Like I think it was like 2013 or something that she was published. And we were both trying to like get out of our YA contracts, and you can't. So like we started this writing in a Google Doc, this Robin Hood-esque type story. And in 30 days we had a draft, and we were like, what do we do with this? We love it. So we gave it to our agents and they sold it to Entangled, you know, their Red Tower. So, and we did seven books with them. And then I went out on my own, and The Beast of Beswick was my first solo. And now I'm back to romanticism. So if you think about it, it's like a kind of a nice circle, right? So started in fantasy, historical, and back to romanticism. And romanticism is like, I would say like historical is like romanticism's eccentric aunt, you know?
Yes.
It's so adjacent, and people don't realize, especially like the newer type historicals, like they're not like bricks. They're like fun, rom-com-y feeling, raunchy. I mean, you mentioned Golden Angel before. Like, you know, they all write unhinged, really cool, awesome stuff. And the ball gowns, ballrooms, you know, there's now like, you know, there's stories with characters of color, there's stories with queer people, there's stories with people who are neurodivergent, people with disabilities. Like, it's
No,
awesome.
it is. I kind of like where historical is. Took me a minute to like where historical is going because,
But you read a lot of like
I had to get out of the
traditional
bodice
historicals.
ripper era and move. And I do like where it's going now. But I have to ask you because the world building, that's one of the things I loved about your historicals. Your world building was just phenomenal.
Thank
Like,
you.
I just really loved it. But this one, you draw from both Indian and Persian mythology, which are not normal mythologies that we see in romanticism. This is, it feels unique and fresh. What inspired those influences? Because that was what gripped me, to be honest, was that different mythology.
I feel like so that's my background. I'm Persian and Indian. I grew up in the Caribbean, so I wanted to bring some of that stuff to the page, some of my culture, some of my food, some of like my settings that I grew up reading. And I knew, like, as a voracious reader myself, especially loving fantasy of all kinds, it's everything was very Western. And I was like, okay, well, you know, the pantheon of gods, when you look at, you know, the pantheon of gods that I created have like the mythology is from Vedic astrology, from India, from like, you know, Persian, like ancient Persian, the gods and goddesses. Like Hinduism has like all, I don't even know how many, but many gods and goddesses. And I mean, my father's a Hindu priest, so I grew up with that. And I wanted it. I think the things about like different cultures is that there are so many similarities. And if we take like romance language in terms of tropes and themes and what people love, they are the same. It doesn't matter like what the settings are, what the color of the people's skins are, what, the food is. It's just a different immersive experience. So I wanted the tropes to be there all day, every day, because like I'm a huge fan of tropes, but I wanted it to be an experience when you went in it. And I had like a reviewer tell me, she's like, "Oh my God, every time you talked about food, I was like, my mouth is watering."
Oh
I was like,
yeah.
"That's
Yeah,
what I
I was really
love."
hungry when I read
Or like when you're thinking about the palace and like some of the tapestries and the stuff that, I try to describe that you feel like you're there, So I think just bringing bits of myself to the page, I've always wanted to like do that. And even with my historicals, I mean, from reading them, like, I always did detailed author's notes of, if there were people that inspired certain characters or like, other questions, like I always made sure and had those. So
That's one thing in this book is the imagery is so sharp. Like you are reading these pages, and even if you're not one of those people who read in picture, like you can view and like imagine exactly what it looks like. The detail and the care in which you created, like the even just the when you walk into a room and you detail like the way in which it's laid out and things like that. Like there's just such kinetic energy to it almost.
thank you. No, I appreciate that. I mean, world building is so close and dear to my heart that I wanted it to be like an experience. I love being in a book and I never want to leave. Like, I love that feeling. And I always thought, oh my gosh, I want to be able to write one of those books,
But your world building is accessible because romanticy fantasy is not my genre. It's just not, and I'm trying more and more. And this
Because
world,
we make you.
because I feel like
Make her do it.
I so have FOMO. Like, I feel like I'm missing out. Like, people talk about, oh my God, this is so amazing. And I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna go because, and like, honestly, reading yours was because, well, I love your historical. So I felt like it would be approachable, that it would feel, because I know you're writing and I like your books. So I felt like it was a good call to go that way. But your world building is accessible. I didn't feel like I needed a map or that I needed a
But there is a
glossary.
map in the
There
book.
is
I
a
know
map
there
in the
is a
book.
map
And
in
a
the book.
glossary in the book.
There is, but
Yes.
I didn't need it. Like, I wasn't like,
No,
I
I
love
love
the fact
that.
that there is a map Yeah.
because I love me a map.
And your magic was layered. The magic system was really well layered and not overwhelming. And my science brain did not get into it and be like, what? Like, it doesn't work like that. I didn't have that moment. So,
Yay.
kudos.
Thank you. No, I'm glad. I'm really glad because I think like it was you always want to reach like the widest audience, right? So you have the people who are like not magic light, but like they just don't want to be overwhelmed by too many concepts, right? And then you have the other people who are like, I need a map and I need a glossary and I need to know all the things because it feels fantastical, right? But you also want it to be an experience. So, yeah. I mean, I hope those two things intersected.
They did for me. I was fine because, it's like stars, prophecy, divine. It was just really well layered, and I didn't have to like message Amanda and be like, "What the hell? I don't know what this is." I didn't have that moment. That's a good sign.
Awesome. Yes. I love it. I mean, you try to please a lot of people, but as a writer, you can't write to
Make everybody
please
happy.
people. Yeah, and lots of people are gonna have things they love. They have their pet peeves. I have them too, so but yeah.
Well, and as the story builds through book one, like you get some, there's big changes that are happening in like really all the characters' lives. And then, like, as that plays out, and then we get to the end of book one. And honestly, when we got to the end of book one, I was like, where is she gonna go with this? Because it didn't have, it's not one of those cliffhangers where you're left like, oh my God, like what is like what's next? It's one of those like, where are we going with this? And how does this Night King, who we get little snippets from him, but short
Right.
snippets, like where is he coming in? I mean, I knew where he was coming in. That sounded way worse in my head. Like as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, yeah,
That
that.
was awesome.
Anyway, but as like we got those short snippets of the Night King, I was like, how is that going to really come to fruition? So it's like, I mean, I read them back to back because I hated Cliffy, like with a fiery passion.
I also am the same, so yeah.
But I wasn't mad at your Cliffy because honestly, like, had you decided I'm going to stop here, like, it would have
Right.
been
That was my
okay.
point. I wanted to do that because I think I also dislike cliffhangers. I cannot, I will break stuff. But and I, so I wanted to give a complete story arc with just that little jump off point. You know, but from the point of view of the MMCs, there were always two. And you know, like I feel like at the end of it, I remember talking with my editor about like where we were going, and I kind of said, you know, I really love Darius, but I don't, I also love Roshan, like, and she's like, okay. I was like, what if I have to kill off one? She's like, no. She's like, I love Roshan. And I was like, okay. And then she goes, why not both? And it was like this
You didn't even think
epiphany,
about that,
right? No,
yeah.
but I kind of did, but also like I
You
wasn't
wanted
sure that I was
permission?
allowed. Like, I don't know, or not even allowed. I mean, because listen, I'm a big believer in like love makes space for everyone. I say that in the book. My daughter's gender fluid. Like, I'm queer. Like, it's just love is just
Love is love.
it's not something that can be confined to social constraints or, you know, what somebody says it is or it isn't. It's different for everyone. And so the genesis of this story, I knew it was going to go to that. And I know that, like, you know, some people might say, oh, I don't like white shoes or whatever, but I mean,
That's a
if you
choice,
read the
though.
story, it is a choice. If you read the story, and you know, I've had people who've written me and said, this was so beautifully done, it was so organic, like I didn't feel like it was contrived. That's kind of where what I wanted for the story. And then Roshan, like, I'm not gonna lie, I read like ACOTAR like everybody else, like years ago, and I was like, poor Tamlin, don't get mad at me. I don't want anybody fighting me
I've never
because
read
okay,
it.
yeah. So
I haven't
Tamlin,
read
I
it either,
mean,
so.
he's like, you know, in the first book, obviously he's not great, but like, and he's, I always wondered what if that guy was redeemable in some way. And so that kind of also got me thinking about Roshan's story arc in book two. But
Well,
yeah, I
and
mean,
I mean his arc is quite complicated.
yeah.
And because as like book two opens, like things are good, but they're not good at the same time, and it kind of goes downhill fairly quickly. And that's when like we really do get to meet Darius and more of the Night King, and his chapters get longer
Yeah,
and
well, the
longer.
biggest thing with Roshan is that, like anyone, when you have too much of something, whether it's money, power, or influence, what happens? You want to keep it at any cost. So he has this question that happens to him: how do I keep my people safe? And I have this weapon, but I've promised this weapon that I won't weaponize her
Because I love her.
because I love her. But then your love cedes to duty. Like, you know, his stuff, like, you know, was real to him at the time. And then there's also other stuff that happened to him that is part of the whole thing that I won't talk about. But like, yeah, I mean,
And I needed the other stuff because I
I
was like,
like the
I'm
other
done. So
stuff.
I needed it. I mean, yeah, I know it works. It works out perfectly, but I needed it because I was like, oh, I'm done with you. Like,
Yeah, no,
sorry.
the
I was like,
redemption
I'm
arc.
done. We're done.
Yeah. No,
And
that
then,
redemption arc, yeah, I had to.
Well, and it's
So.
one of those things that you're not expecting it. Like, I was not expecting his arc to go the direction that it did. Like, I mean, that could be me. Maybe Amanda
The
saw it
setup
coming,
was
but.
there, but I wasn't sure if we were gonna get there or if it was, you know, I was
Something
just
else.
unsure. Yeah, but it worked out really
One
well.
of the things that I really hope to accomplish in this book is the Easter eggs you see it in like a book one. I've read books where, you know, you read a book two and you're like, they explain or foreshadow all this stuff in book one. And you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I saw that, but I don't. But you go back to read it and then your brain explodes because it's so cool. So I wanted to do something like that. So with a lot of the stuff, I did have foreshadowing and
Yes.
like eye movements or other things that when you learn what happens in book two, you could actually go back and read book one and be like, this is,
Like you can see where the clues came up.
yeah. Like, I love that. So, like, you know, with the Roshan backstory, like, you know, the stuff with Pharaoh, like, you know, gods are cruel, ruthless
Well, and you like tension.
people.
I'm just
Yes.
gonna say, like, I feel like every time it turned around, there was just more tension, more tension. And I'm like,
That much tension.
I cannot sit down. am angsty listening to this book.
Sorry, not sorry.
I do have to ask you because your fight scenes, my best way I could explain them are cinematic. So,
Thank you.
do you picture it in your, like, are you picturing it and seeing it like a movie?
Yeah, I mean, I fenced in college,
Okay.
so like that
That's
kind
so
of meant,
cool.
I was part of the fencing team, so that was fun. But I'm small, right? So I'm like 5'2", and I would always get my opponent because everybody was taller, and like I could just duck and I'll be out of the way because the like spot is from like here down to like your hip level. So small center, but yeah, no, I mean, I love movies. That's what I do in like downtime. I like to watch movies. So I always, and like I said, I love that cinematic experience reading a book. So with the fight scenes, I wanted it to have that fluidity. And you use the word kinetic before, Leah, and like I always want my words to be constantly moving. Whether
Yeah.
it's like a fight scene or even, and I mean, I remember like my editor, obviously a great editor is awesome, like saying, Amelie, we need to breathe. So like you, Becky's saying so much tension. I was like, I had to really think about those breathing moments.
Well, because
But it
there.
works really well. Like the pacing moves. Like there was not a point where I was just like, oh, we're hanging out too long. Like when are we going to get to something else? Like it moves really well. It reads really fast. Both of them.
Well, thank you, Amanda. Yeah.
And the balance and the emotional beats, like the tension was there, but there was balance, which I appreciate. I
Yeah.
appreciate because I was like, okay,
Well, but each of the three of them, though, they have so many different levels to like where they're at. Like Darius, when like we first meet him in book two, like he wants nothing to do with what is going on and is very standoffish. And but then like as we get to know him, like we understand why he is like why he's standoffish, like where his reasoning is from, and there's like a another person who is kind of intertwined with him, which he's not thrilled about, but he's doing it for certain reasons. And I know I'm being super vague, people, but
I
you gotta
really
let me
want
know.
people to read this. I
Yeah.
really hope that our
But it's just
community.
each of them are so layered, like even from where everybody begins to ends, like there's so much growth and change through all three of them. And I don't think had you not told the story the way in which you did, that it would have been as impactful in that growth.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that as well. Like, I mean, even you think about like the theme of power that I mentioned with Roshan before, Darius also struggles with that because his is, if I give in to this fated mate connection, what am I going to lose? Like each of them have something to lose. And I think that's something that readers can connect with because we all have that one thing that we're scared to lose, that we don't want to lose. We don't want to trust somebody. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be weakened. And stuff like even playing around with tropes like with Soraya and the like amnesia, it's not even amnesia. I don't want to give it away what it is, but like I remember writing it going, I don't want this to be amnesia because it's not that. I want it to be calculated. And I mean, again, when you think about these rules of power, what's this is these are all just power games between these people.
Well, and you almost play with our emotions because like as like some of these things happen, like we think, hey, this is gonna be amnesia, but then it ends up not being that, and you're like, oh, why would she
Well, I
do that
mean,
to
fantasy
me?
readers especially, I mean, they read a lot of stuff. So like I want it to be different enough, but also like, fresh, where you're just like unexpected. So it's always a win when someone's like, I didn't see that coming. I had somebody tell me that they didn't see the villain coming, and I was like, yes. So
I didn't see it coming, but
I
again,
didn't
this is
either.
newer for me, so I'm sure Amanda was like, I clocked it.
Let's
I
see. Did
did.
you
I did.
know?
Yeah, I did.
She
Oh, I
reads
didn't know.
so much
There's little
romance.
clues if you're reading very closely, there are clues.
Wow.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
that was fun. 'Cause like I think the biggest thing with like any kind of book is like you don't want to clock it too early. And I do it a lot as well because like I read so much that I can almost always say, oh, this is the bad, or this is gonna happen. I love when I'm surprised though.
Yeah, it was
See.
later. It was not like right away.
See,
It
I read
was.
a lot of romantic suspense and I will clock those ones more often than I clock a romantasy, but I don't read it at I will admit, I sometimes don't read it as deeply as I read a suspense book, so that might be part of it.
Yeah,
But,
suspense is a different thing too, because you're looking for clues in suspense, which is like, part of that experience. The mystery in that is like what you're looking for. So you go into a suspense mystery book like thinking I have to look for the things that will get me to the end. Fantasy is a journey, like where you're like, I want to be on this quest, or I'm, looking at these characters getting together and I want to see the magic system. So it's like it's a different experience. Historical, same thing. I want to see a heroine who's trapped by circumstance, who has rules and expectations to follow. How is she going to get around all those things to get what she wants? Which I think is why, like, sometimes when we're in slumps, we're like, I'm going to pick this book, or I'm going to fall back on one of my J's, because I know.
Category every time. I mean, like, mass market
Anytime,
going away
Becky
makes
or
me
I get in
sad.
like a really big slump, I either reread or go to category romance because that's where I got my start, like category.
Yeah. It's like your comfort blanket. You're like, I know that this is gonna be good.
Well, and it's like the formula of a category romance. It is like it's like it there are certain points in those books, you know something's gonna happen, and I am okay with that sometimes.
No, me too. I hear you. Like that predictability and that like comfort factor is important.
Makes it easy when other things feel out of control, but
Oh my
yeah.
God. Yeah, I have anxiety and ADHD. So yeah, sometimes I need that. I'm just like, no.
Join the club. Like, I think that we
This
got
is
to
a neurospicy
Yeah,
panel.
we love Nero Spicy.
We are here for it. Let me see here. What else did I have?
I
Oh,
don't know what else you
I
have.
do. I had one more thing. So what do you hope as readers walk out of this book and are putting it down? What do you hope they take away from this or feel at the end even? Like what?
Well, at the end, like I kind of alluded to earlier, I want you to feel like you close the book and you're like, that was so satisfying. I love that feeling when you close a book and all the stuff's tied up and you've been taken on like an adventure. The romance makes your heart kind of like squeeze, sometimes, and you're just like, oh, that was so good, and you're so satisfied. So like I think from that perspective, like I hope when you close the book, you get that feeling. I mean, hopefully you got it with My Baby Dragons. Oh my God, they were so cute. But I love writing in the
I
little
love My Baby
attitude with
Dragons.
them and stuff, just little pieces like that. But also walking away from a book that has Eastern influences and thinking, this is so freaking cool. What is a Simurgh? I want to learn what a Persian phoenix is. And you go and look it up and you see this tattoo,
Oh, wow,
by the way, which
nice.
I sent to HarperCollins when they were doing the cover. And
Oh, did
this
you?
is what informed that cover. Yes, I have a dragon I just got. It's like literally a few weeks old. But
Oh,
anyway,
that's really
yeah.
pretty.
Yeah, but
Good for
like to
you.
go ask what this creature is. Like, I mean, I know that I'm not going to give away that spoiler. I almost did of
Don't
the
do
beast
it. They
mode, but I won't do it. I won't do it. But
There are
like a
creatures
Simurgh.
abound, though, people just know
Yes,
that, and they
yes,
are important.
yes. And or like even if you like the food, like looking it up, maybe getting a recipe and saying, I want to try to make this at home. Like you're
I like
walking
the
away
food.
with a wider breadth of, of cultural knowledge, basically, but not shoved down your throat. Just something that you were like, oh, that was so good.
Your food descriptions are pretty phenomenal, just so we're
Thank
all
you.
really clear. Like, and we locally don't have an Indian restaurant anymore. It was so fun. There was a girl that was going to college here, and her parents moved here with her. And while they were here, they opened a restaurant. And when she graduated, they stayed for 1 year after and then closed the restaurant and then moved to where she
Oh,
was.
sads.
And I'm like, oh, so I have to go like up to Toledo.
Yeah. No, I was in Vegas for like an event at the Las Vegas Book Festival, and one of my friends, she was like, can I come to your aunt's house for Diwali? I'm like, yes, you can. She was like in heaven. She still talks about it. It was like 3 or 4 years ago. But yeah, I mean, I miss like, well, I live near my mom, so she can make some dishes, which is cool.
Yeah,
She'll
we're
cook
very
for
fortunate where I'm at. Like, we have a couple local ones. I have not been to them recently, but
Yeah,
now you're
really
hungry
good.
for them, aren't you?
I am really hungry for
I did
them now,
also like
yeah.
the other thing is the clothes. Like, I mean, oh my gosh, some of those, when you look at the embroidery from some of these places, it's really incredible. Like, the intricacy of it, just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous fabric styles, all that stuff.
Well, actually, it's funny. Gloria in the comments on YouTube says, if you're crafty, the fabric brand Ruby Star Society is coming out with a dragon-themed line in April. Dragon-themed fabric. So, I mean, we like a hobby around here.
That would make a really cool quilt.
Oh, yeah.
Or even just like a really cool book cover for my shiny holographic
There you
Starkeeper
go.
books.
You could have Sid make it for
I could
you.
have Sid make it for me. She's
I
nodding.
had a lady make a quilt for me. It has about 18 of my books on it. It's
Oh,
covered
that's
with stuff
amazing.
though, but it's really nice. I
That's
love
so
crafty people.
nice.
One of my good friends makes quilts like in her spare time. Like that's what she does.
So cool.
Okay, so hold on. Queen of the Night Sky is out now. It came out and finished the duology on March 17th.
Yesterday.
It's worth it, you guys. Pick it up. Pick up these two books, the Starkeeper duology. It was phenomenal.
It
I
was
really
very
liked it.
good.
You, Amanda, we might be, I might be selling myself on romanticy now. Just,
Have lots to
yes.
read.
I know. So what's next? Not that, you know, you just published a book yesterday. What's next?
No, totally fine. I have so my YA, which is also historical, comes out with Penguin Random House. It's Joy Revolution. I've written the Queen Bee series with them. So it's Queen Bee, Lady Knight, which came out last year, and Rebel Heiress. And it's Bridgerton meets She's the Man, except with astronomy.
Oh,
Because back
fun.
then she couldn't go, you know, women couldn't go to university. So she pretends to be her cousin and falls for her tutor. It's very, very, very
Fun.
sweet
Those
and
covers are adorable
fun.
too. Those
Oh
covers
yeah.
are cute.
And that, so like Joy Revolution is an imprint that was started by Nikki and Dave Yoon. It's about featuring books featuring characters of color written by people of color, and even the artists who did all of the art for the covers of my books, artists of color.
Oh, that's so
They're
cool.
really trying to make inroads and into like diversity, and you know, I mean, they're phenomenal, and all their books are great. So if you love YA, check them
Check it
out.
out. Stacy asks, would you write more in this world?
So the duet is finished. I would have loved to do that, and that was actually one of the pitches I had given to HarperCollins. But you know, I mean, you know how stuff is in publishing sometimes. These books were acquired by an editor who left and went to Bramble. So I was inherited by someone at HarperCollins. And sometimes with editors, they want their own projects. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
Yeah.
they'll
Yeah.
be like, my editor was amazing. I loved her. She did a fantastic job. But I think she wanted something like, she's like, oh, let's do something new. You know?
Yeah.
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 Makes
Yep.
sense.
The good and the bad of the publishing world, but you
Well,
know.
it's when you sell your rights, you don't own them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belongs to them.
So that's okay. That's okay. We can just go back and reread this one a couple more
Right,
times.
read it over and over
We'll
and over.
just live there for a little bit.
There you go.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
Did you tell them? They're like, there's Shadow Shibari in it. I'll just leave you with that.
Oh yes, there's a shadow daddy for anyone who
Yes.
needs to know.
But Shadow Shibari, I've not seen it
Yeah.
anywhere else. I'm just saying.
No. We could.
I
We should
told you.
hashtag that. I need to put that on
Just
my
need to
resume.
read
Not
the. Honestly,
in a romanticy, but in a
if
paranormal.
you just want to read the Night King chapters, do
Yeah.
it.
You could, yes. I mean, you
Leah.
need to read the whole book, but you can
Iffy.
start there. You can Leah it in the form of only Night King chapters first and then the rest of
Oh my
it. I
gosh,
really
Leah.
want to show you guys this, but I'm going to put my hand in the front
Okay.
and just go like this really fast.
Oh, the
Oh.
shadows.
The
Okay.
shadows.
See, it was covered. You're
Yeah,
safe.
we're
I'm not
safe.
really
really worried about it. I think it's fine.
worried. What did she
Anyway.
say? She's not worried.
Well, when
Oh,
we
yeah.
get shut down,
Covered.
we know whose fault it
No,
is,
I listen,
Rebecca.
that was covered.
It's
It was
Rebecca.
covered.
It was
We're
covered.
good.
I'll just
Yeah,
get
it
yelled at by
totally
Mike
was.
Burrier. It'll be fine.
No. So it's a normal day.
It's a normal day if I get fussed at. Anyway. Amelie, thank you so much, one, for answering my random email
Oh my gosh. No, thank you for having me. This was
and coming and
awesome.
hanging out with us. It's always a pleasure. We will be back here Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Author Sawyer Bennett and her new co-writing author, Bill Keenan, will be joining us to talk about their new hockey romance series they
Ooh,
announced this
hockey.
week. Yeah.
Nice. We're
He's a
very
former
excited.
pro hockey player himself, and he
Wow.
and Sawyer
Turned
are
to
writing
author.
together.
Can you ask him about those ice exercises?
I
I'm
will.
kidding.
Sure. You know, the one down on the knees that,
Yep.
yeah,
Yep.
absolutely.
Get
Anyway.
those hip joints loose.
We'll see if we see those in those books, because, you know. Anyway, now I'm all like
Hey, guess what?
flustered. I'm just
I got
flustered.
on an ice hockey team in my college,
Did
and
you?
I decided not to play women's ice hockey because back then, aging myself, there was no checking, and I was very upset that there was no checking.
See, I would have been upset too. Like,
Yep. So
that
I
is
did not
actually one of
play.
my favorite parts of hockey.
I love checking. They
So
do it now.
when I was younger, my aunt and uncle had his company had season tickets to the Penguins, and we were like right next to the glass. And when somebody got checked right in
On
front
the
of you,
boss, so
there's
good.
just something about like when their
It's so
face is smushed
visceral.
against the glass in front of you. It just, there's something about it.
Amanda, did we know Leah had a violent streak?
Mean, there were
Oh,
signs.
only
There
for
were
smush talky
signs.
faces.
There were
I mean, Lee and
signs.
I are both very big football fans, so the violent streak is there. Yeah.
Guys. Anyway, okay, we'll be back here Sunday night. Thank you, Amelie Howard, for joining us. Make sure you
Thank
pick up the
you.
Starkeeper duology. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.